So the first reading is to be found in Deuteronomy chapter 29, and we commence to read at verse 10. You stand assembled today, all of you, before the Lord your God, the leaders of your tribes, your elders, and your officials, all the men of Israel, your children, your women, and the aliens who are in your camp, both those who cut your wood and those who draw your water, to enter into the covenant of the Lord your God, sworn by an oath, which the Lord your God is making with you today, in order that he may establish you as his people, and that he may be your God. And as he promised you, and as he swore to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, I am making this covenant, sworn by an oath, not only with you who stand here with us today before the Lord our God, but also with those who are not here with us today. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the prophets, Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34. For the word that inspires us, we praise you, O God. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, "Know the Lord," for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, beginning at verse 22. While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank of it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Thanks be to God.
For those of you who I haven't seen yet, Happy New Year. This is the time when we start a new year. We make resolutions and we go back to the normal routine of our life after Christmas. But I wonder, how long do New Year's resolutions really last? So often we start the year with much determination and the best of intentions. But as the weeks slip by, so does the motivation. Towards the beginning of the year, we join together for our covenant service, where we promise again to follow our God. But unlike some of our New Year's resolutions, this continues and is achievable because we do it in God's strength, not in our own. The concept of covenant goes right back to the Old Testament, as we heard in our first reading. And it's based on the contemporary model of covenants or treaties in the Middle East, which would be made between a victorious nation and its vassal, or two nations coming together in agreement to avoid dispute. The people would know about it and be familiar with the pattern. And similar, the terms of agreement are set out and a response is made from each side. Here, God's laws are read out for the people to hear and obey. And God promises to be their God, who will guide them and protect them. And yet, as we read on through the pages of the Bible, we find that this covenant which God made with his people long ago and renews with his people today far exceeds any earthly treaty before or since. This is not a covenant of hierarchy, it's a covenant of grace. A victorious nation or stronger leader would call the shots and make the terms and conditions, holding power over weaker subjects. They would make their demands and they would withhold their power or withhold war as long as those terms were met. Yet here, the all-powerful God takes the initiative and invites his people into a covenant. He calls his people into relationship with him because they are precious to him. It is for everyone, from the leaders of the nations down to the smallest child. This covenant that we remember and renew with God is not a deal with God. If you do this, then I will do that. Sometimes we can almost be guilty of doing that in our prayers. God, if you let this happen, then I will do this. But our covenant is a response to the love of a God who makes the first move. Or in the words of a favourite carol that we have recently sung, he came down from heaven to earth, who is God and Lord of all. Jesus became nothing so that we could become something. It is not a covenant of demands, but a covenant of grace. The law was not so much a list of do's and don'ts, but a way of holy living for God's people to follow, which would set them apart and enable them to put God first in all that they did. Over time, that law was reduced to many strict rules and regulations, which became a burden to people and focused on itself rather than the God who gave it. And so God speaks again to his people through the prophet Jeremiah, saying that he will make a new covenant with his people, not on tablets of stone, but in people's hearts, real and living and active. Our covenant is in a grace that reached out to us before we could know anything about it, and continually invites us to respond. It is not a covenant of judgment, but a covenant of grace. There would be no spies watching to see if the terms were carried out, no watching over shoulders in case anybody made a mistake. Times past have seen religion used as a hold over people, which says, if you do anything wrong, then you will go to hell. The Israelites broke their covenant with God, worshipped idols and false gods, turned away from him, forgot about him. How often do we fail God in what we think and say and do, or do not think and say and do? And the thing about Middle Eastern covenants is that if one side broke their part of the agreement, then the other side was released from their obligation, for the covenant then ceased to exist. It could be like that with God, but it isn't. God could say, you have sinned again. You have still not come up to the mark. I'm finished with you. Yet against all expectation, God shows mercy. It is a covenant of grace, a covenant of second chances, a covenant of forgiveness that led to a cross and goes on forgiving time after time. A radical invitation that reaches to me, though I repeatedly fail and am tempted to give up, which reaches to you, to everyone. The covenant is not a message of good works, but of good news. It is not about us trying to please God, but God coming to us with strength and mercy. That is why today, whatever our circumstances, we can make this covenant of God our own, giving ourselves to him, trusting in his promises and relying on his grace.